Hi, this is Aaron Hart filling in for J. Marvin today. I'm just laughing at the way John Turk stretched out the vowel in hot. Thank you for joining us. Our media misinformation report will be with Carl Frisch of Meteor Matters for America. He's now a senior fellow. He started out in 2006 as a communications director. He is familiar with working on both sides of the aisle. He has worked for John McCain during his 2000 presidential campaign, but he also worked as press secretary for Congresswoman Louise Slaughter of New York, who was on the House Rules Committee. So he has also served as multimedia communications director for the Round Mound team of Howard Dean's 2004 presidential campaign. Welcome, Carl Frisch. A pleasure to meet you.
Thanks for having me. And yeah. I have long since made my penance for my work on the right. I think everybody experiments a little bit in their youth.
You know, I've never succumbed to the dark side of the force, but that may be because I had a couple of conservatives in my family who continuously and constantly reminded me that going there would be wrong indeed. Or maybe I just like to argue with them. I don't know. I was wondering, in terms of this, you know, I watch the Sunday chat shows and I always love reading you guys and figure out, you know, where did I catch all the lies? I sort of like, where's Waldo? Did I catch all the Republican misinformation and lies? And so I love going to MediaMatters.org to find them. But one I did catch was on George Stephanopoulos, and I'm yelling at George, ask him, challenge Senator Lindsey Graham's claim that 11% of the appropriated money bill hits in 2009. That's a lie, even according to the Congressional Budget Office, right?
Yeah, it's quite ridiculous, and these things are you know, fully reported at this point. There should be no reason that somebody can get away with making these claims. You know, it's not 11%. You know, it's 23% of all the spending and tax cuts included in the bill will take effect by September 30th of 2009.
So not even the end of 2009, September 30th.
Right. You know, almost a complete quarter of the spending. Now,
Stephanopoulos,
let's be clear, this is also coming from somebody who makes the argument that we shouldn't be spending money.
Yes, of course.
So,
not at all.
No, don't spend the money. But why is the money not being spent quickly enough?
I know. It's just, wait, do we have any cognitive dissonance here at all? It's like, by the way, we don't like the way the money's being spent. We love tax cuts, but we hate the ones here, but we didn't filibuster against it because we weren't forced to. And, you know, you just look at them and you shake your head and you want to go, but I also get really upset with George Stephanopoulos because he's smart enough, man. And you know, he knows to come, but I guess he figured with four other people there. I mean, thank goodness Barney Frank is on the case, but I get a little tired of listening to them just get away with it over and over and over. You expect it on Fox News, but ABC?
Well, you know,
oh, never
of course,
mind.
This is coming from George Stephanopoulos, who so many people on the right claim is some kind of shill for the Democratic Party.
Right.
Obviously,
yeah.
If he was a shill for the Democratic Party, he'd be a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he's our shill, if he's even a journalist, I want that investigated right now. Well, now, I love your titles, too, and here's one of my faves. Of Mice and Information, Bill Salmon joins other Fox News personalities in spreading stimulus falsehood. Do you think that they're just a little confused by words like stimulus? I mean, does that scare them? Or, you know, I don't know what's going on with them, but they just can't say enough lies. I mean, going after poor, I heard, by the way, this morning from a right-wing caller, they're now calling House Speaker Nancy Pelosi Princess Pelosi.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
the level of sexism that you hear from those on the right, particularly on talk radio, is
astounding.
Never astounding to me because it's every single day. You know,
every day.
Her San Francisco values, you know, she's Princess Pelosi. It's quite ridiculous.
Well, and that there are no language containing salt marsh harvest mouse.
It's ridiculous. It was something that a Republican staffer had said on background, and then when somebody finally tracked down the source of this information, they couldn't support it with any actual information. You know, it's not in the legislation.
So how?
But this is not the first time we've heard that. I mean, it was just a couple weeks ago when they were claiming that Acorn was going to get $5 billion,
right?
Which wasn't true. They
not
were talking
true.
About, you know, assisted housing and redevelopment, which Acorn doesn't have the ability to participate in. They don't do that. It's not what Acorn does. So, you know, When in doubt, lie is what their motto is.
Yes, but, you know, I keep thinking maybe there's a way for us to make this work for us other than, you know, your fine work and everything at Media Matters. Maybe what we could do is hook them up to machines, sort of like cow. They keep talking about, you know, harvesting cow flatulence. Maybe we could take all the hot air from right-wing Republicans and Fox News personalities and say, oh, power Atlanta or something.
I think that's a good idea. I think, you know, we should try everything in the new green economy.
Exactly. Hubris. Recycle their hubris. let me ask, that in terms of this, has Fox News actually risen in, you know, how are the ratings doing? Because that is a measure of how they're doing. And are they thriving in the Obama in Obama world, or how are they functioning?
I'm sure that they're doing just fine in terms of ratings. You know, it's much easier to be, on the attack end, you know, where you're in the opposition, and draw an audience of angry people. So they're probably doing just fine, while they continue to lie to those people who are turning in because they're angry. And, you know, they don't have any care in the world about presenting that information as fact. It was only a couple days ago, last week, that we caught Fox News red-handed. Passing on Senate Republican talking points as their own reporting. They even included the same typo.
And then they apologized for the typo, but didn't apologize for using the talking points. I saw that on Keith Olbermann, picked it up.
No, you know, that's what talking points are. I mean, press releases are for the purpose of maybe somebody in the media will pick it up. That being said, it's the responsibility of those in the media who do pick up the talking points to critically analyze these things and not just pass them off as their own reporting. He should have, Scott should have said, this is from a press release from the Senate Republican Communications Center. That would have been the right thing to do, and then analyze whether or not that information is true and accurate. Instead, they passed it off as their own reporting, and then when called out on it, they apologized for a typo they passed on.
And again, obfuscate the issue, because they're experts at hiding in plain sight. I mean, my personal favorite of the week is Rush Limbaugh claiming that there was no bill posted on the internet, falsehood one.
Yep.
And then the second one was not searchable, which is patently untrue. He must be a moron when it comes to searching on the internet. What?
It's called Control F, and the F means find.
Exactly. Control F or find, or maybe the little, as Steve, again, Keith Olbermann, I have to give credit to, says hit the little binoculars in the corner. You too can read it.
Ridiculous.
It's just sad, really. Do you think they're gaining any ground, though? I mean, Frank Rich on Sunday pointed out that the Grand Old Party is becoming the Great Old White Party of the South again. Is this going to help them gain any votes in 2000? Is this game, it must be about 2010, I keep thinking. But, you know, what if this blows up in their face? What if it doesn't work?
Well, I mean, what you had is Rush Limbaugh saying he thinks the president should fail. And then you had House Republicans and most Republicans in the Senate taking a gamble that this plan that the president has put forward won't work, i.e. betting on his failure. So, you know, they've listened to their voice in the conservative movement, Rush Limbaugh, and they've done precisely that. It is a gamble. An equally large gamble is this kind of campaign to divide people, kind of ensuring their white base. And that's a big gamble because that base is becoming smaller and smaller and smaller.
Well,
and as long as they pursue these policies and act this way in the media, it's going to be harder and harder for them electorally and to be taken seriously as a whole.
Well, and the census is all about accurately counting people, which is why they are so afraid of you know, the census, and it's the census year, which will also lead to district reapportionment. But, you know, it is true that in many states now the Democrats control the game. So what is there an upside in this kind of beefing and this kind of gritching and rooting for the economy to fail?
I don't think there's an upside to it, really. And it's funny to hear conservatives complain about the census now, after 10 years ago when Tom DeLay and his pals used the census results to their advantage by
gerrymandering,
getting into redistricting. Yeah. You know, it's very important that we count everybody, and you know, study after study show that the only way to get an accurate count is to not just do the door-to-door counting and the counting by mail, but also to do statistical sampling so that you get everybody.
Right, right. And so that you don't ignore anybody. And even though, you know, I'm always suspicious of parties that want to not count people, not count votes, not count accurately ever. I mean, that leads to, say, economic disasters, perhaps, the inability to count things. I mean, I know that sounds simplistic, but, you know, it really is true. I think that one of their biggest problems is they continuously and constantly advocate on such a bizarre angle of the issues that they have to almost lie and obfuscate, because if they don't, they're going to look ridiculous.
Well, they don't necessarily think of it as lying. And if they do think of it as lying, they have no, you know, reason to tell the truth. For them, it's not about presenting the issues as they are. It's about winning. It's always
about winning and gaining control.
And
right.
if they win, right. then it's about putting your foot on the throat of the person you just beaten. Fortunately or unfortunately, when Democrats are in power, it's about governing, and sometimes to the detriment of the politics of the day or the spin cycle. But, you know, at some point, Republicans are going to have to come to the table.
Well, and since you've been on both sides of the fence, let me ask you in terms of this, is there ever a hope of what should Obama do in order to accomplish his goals of governing without letting the right wing clack overpower him?
I think he should continue doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's precisely what we would expect from people on the right, except that he's actually making a good-hearted effort to include people. As long as they keep betting on his failure, they won't be supporting his legislative priorities. But eventually, they're going to have to come around, realizing that much of what they want is being included, for instance, in the stimulus package. Much of what they would have asked for, the tax cuts, were in there when the president and House and Senate leaders put it forward in the first place. So, you know, for conservatives, compromise means do what we want to do.
Exactly. And shut up and sit down.
Right. For progressives, compromise means let's work together and get something that we can find, you know, common ground on. And you can see what happens when Democrats and progressives find common ground with conservatives. Conservatives vote against it because it doesn't have everything they want.
Very true, which is why we'll have to keep reading the Conservative Misinformation Report on Media Matters for America. And thank you, Senior Fellow Carl Frisch. Once again, it was a pleasure to meet you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
It's 19 past the hour. I'm Aaron Hart filling in on the J. Marvin Show. Okay, it's just us. What do you think? Carl Frisch, excellent report. The right-wingers continue to distort and make fun and lie, while Barack Obama calmly goes about the business of the nation. Speaking of which, countdown, it's only about an hour or so before his wheels will be touching down on Colorado soil, and we will be once again privileged with a visit from the President of the United States, Barack Obama. It's 303-713-7600. This is the J. Marvin Show, and I'd love to talk to you. Lines are open and ready for your calls at 303-713-7600. Thanks again to Carl Frisch of MediaMatters.org. And now it's time for traffic with John.
And the world is made of energy. And the world.
Hey, it's Aaron Hart filling in for J. Marvin, who will likely be back tomorrow. KBDI. CBS, Glenwood Springs, Steamboat Springs, KKCO, and KREX, Grand Junction, and Cray in Montrose are all going digital. The Rocky Mountain PBS in Denver is delaying the switch, but as are most Denver and Colorado stations, but some of them in the hinterland are converting. Woohoo! Who says small America, sound America isn't behind the time? By the way, the meteor shower was a meteor shower, not space junk. I keep worrying about that falling on our heads. But what's really great is the president has come to town. Let's welcome him in our proper spirit, in case he's listening on Air Force One. Hi, Eric in Arvada. Welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
I just started listening at, I'd say, about 8:30, so I don't know if someone already beat me to this, but I wanted to throw in a plug for HBO's special that began airing last night, Right America Feeling Wronged. And it's must viewing for our side of the aisle.
You know, I had to go to bed early because of working this morning, so I missed it. So I'm glad you reminded me to take a look at that. I really want to.
I believe it starts today. If you've got HBO and if you got
I do
on
so
demand,
far
It started this morning as far as just being able to do it on demand.
Well, I'm sure I'll be able to. I really love that on-demand feature, by the way, because I don't have a DVR recorder yet, but I'm planning to get one. I just don't want to pay the cable company for it necessarily. I already pay them $18 a month in fees. That's enough.
Copy on that.
Yeah.
I would have one thing to say about that. I think everybody needs to understand that the same people who you would have watched for 45 minutes in this program will be voting red again 2 years from now.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are, it's stunning. It is absolutely stunning. This follows the campaign in the final days right up until the very end. And the same people who I'm sure think that the president is perhaps not a citizen or is of Muslim faith, or go ahead and name the top 10.
Tired.
The same people will feel the same way in 2012, and of course during the midterms. But it's just important for our side to understand that this fight isn't over, and you cannot deal with people that are divorced from reality. You've just got to oppose them.
Yeah, that is true. And we have to keep on them, too. I mean, that's why we have people on this show like Carl Frisch of Media Matters to straighten out what their lies are, because they distort everything. That's why Media Matters is a critical resource. You know, we have a lot of tools now that we did not have 8 years ago on the Internet, on disinformation, on documentaries. And, you know, Robert Greenwald just became a Facebook friend of mine. I admire and respect him so much because he's so good at what he does. And you know, we have to use all the tools at our disposal. We really do, because we have to keep at it and keep telling the truth, because they will try to use any means necessary to get back the country. They know what kind of power they lost, and they don't like it any. That's why Boehner's been talking in his neck a lot.
Right. Well, one thing I definitely have picked up, just the difference in the 2008 and the 2004 campaigns, was how fast the misinformation got hammered.
Yep.
It was popped within the 24-hour news cycle. Now, what I thought Mr. Frisch said today during his airtime with you that was most resonant to me was when he said Republicans run to win, and then they put their foot on the neck of the vanquished.
On the neck of their opponent, yeah.
Democrats run to govern and try to do the job, and sometimes that gets them hurt because they're not out there bashing the other side. They're just doing their job, and they're losing the 24-hour cycle.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't think the president is a sap. And I think what he's
doing
is he's using optimism and he's using hope now as, in a way, weapons, as rapier responses to them. But he's also going to, don't forget, this man, if you've read Audacity of Hope, you know one of the things he did? He grew up in hardball Chicago politics.
Right.
Speaking of which, I don't think Burris is going to be long for the U.S. Senate, by the way. But I really believe I think he's doing this to say to the rest of the country, see, I'm going to try this. And if it doesn't work, then you and I are going to have to govern together. And he will go straight over the heads of the Washington clack and in terms of the media, and he will go straight overhead of the Republicans.
You're right about that. You know, on page 82 of Audacity of Hope, I believe it's page 82, he says, I do not agree with anything George Bush says, but I am obligated by my maker to see the world through his eyes. Well, he did that on the stimulus.
Yep.
And you know, so we do know that he's not a sap.
No, not at all. I don't think he's a sap. I think this is the long game. I think he's playing. Remember, everybody thought he was going to lose to Hillary. Everybody, and I kept going, no, he's going to be president of the United States. You know, no, he's going to be president. Hello, he's going to be president of the United States. And I was saying this shortly after he announced his, you know, even before he announced his run. Because I just, you know, like many people, I heard him at the 2004 convention and I went, I don't know when you're going to run, but when you do, I will follow you into the gates of politics, which can be hellish, and in order to help you get elected. And I think a lot of people joined us in that endeavor. You know, I really do. Not to say I knew everything. I just loved his speech. And one of the things that resonated with me was, I'll still remember, this isn't a red state America. This is not a blue state America. This is the United States of America.
Oh, no
and
doubt.
I think that resonated a lot with all of us.
That was in Chicago, in Springfield, when he announced he was running for president, that was the very first time he brought that out.
No, actually, it was in 2004. But it was in 2004 at the convention. He was the keynote, Kerry helped him get that leg up.
Oh, I know. I forgot he said it then.
Yeah,
I'm
he
sorry.
Did. No, that's okay. I'm a groupie. Are you kidding? I'm like, meh. But thank you. Not that I won't criticize him when I think it's necessary, but, you know, thank you very much for your call. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for filling in.
You're welcome. My pleasure. I love to work. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. And, oh, kudos to Jose Juan Cruz. He'll be saying the Pledge of Allegiance before the president's speech. He's got Bruce Randolph School, and he's got to figure, wow, that's the coolest thing ever. He was practicing on President's Day. It's 30 past the hour. I'm Aaron Hart filling in for J. Marvin. Stand by for traffic with John Turk coming right up.
Well, you done me and you bet I felt it. I tried to beat
Hi, this
you,
is Aaron Hart on AM 760. I love the music you're playing this morning, John Turk. It's fab.
Now I'm trying to get back.
Thank you, Aaron.
Grizzly and Olivia, the two silky terriers, are sending a shout out to Pedro, my silky terrier. Thank you. I'm glad it's great to be on Jay's show this morning. I'm glad you're enjoying it. Let's go with Jim in Fort Collins. Welcome and thank you for joining the J. Marvin Show. Good morning.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
I just want to say that I think the bipartisan effort is just going to prove to be hopeless because, like your previous caller said, you can't. Number one, argue with people who are detached from reality. I think Obama's going to come to the conclusion that it is hopeless eventually.
Well, they're already squealing like stuck elephants. I think maybe he knows that. I think here's what I think might be the game plan, and I'm not privy to the very inner circle of Obama, Obama's campaign and certainly White House. I do know some folks. But here's what I think is the game plan. And I could be wrong, but my intelligence guided by my experience tells me that this is what's happening. They're doing this deliberately, and it is a long-term game plan, just like there was with his campaign. Just like there was, remember when they knew that caucus states were going to be the winner no matter what? They knew that if they counted right and they did this, it would be wonderful. Now, here's what I think is happening. I think they're going to let the tax cuts that Bush shamelessly passed and the Republicans shamelessly gave the rich a huge leg up, as one of our earlier guests, David K. Johnston, has written about in several books. I think he's going to let those die. And I think he's going to say, look, you know, it's a new day in America. We all have to sacrifice, starting with the wealthiest among us who can best afford to carry this country while we're in deep, dire straits. And this is your, you know, this is some of your help that you'll get in infrastructure because you'll have roads to carry your goods and services on, and you'll have bridges, and you'll have healthier workers to work for you. And I'll take private, you know, the responsibility, as David K. Johnston suggested earlier, private health care out of your hands, and we'll have a better proposal. If you look on his website, he's got great proposals for not just single-payer health care, but a combination of public and private health care that can work very, very well. And let me tell you something. Big business, if they're honest, are falling over themselves to be a part of it. So I think in some ways he's just setting the argument. He's playing this like a long-term trial strategy, or as the law professor he is, because he knows it's not going to be won in a day. And he has to keep independents and others into the fold and get them to have a change in heart, because we've been propagandized for a long time that government A is evil by Ronald Reagan, and that, you know, tax cuts and the rich are going to save this country. Well, we quickly learned who really runs the country and who really supports it, and that's you and I, my friend.
I agree. And can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I live in a town where thousands of people are employed by the federal government, state government, city government. And so when these nut jobs on the right say that government doesn't create jobs, what do they mean?
I don't know, because I assume the woman who delivers my mail every day shops at the same grocery stores I do. I assume she's paying her mortgage in the neighborhood where she lives, which happens to be, I think, mine, which means that she's helping support my neighborhood so that we won't all fall into foreclosure and have to go bankrupt. You know what I mean? I think those thousands of workers that you're talking about, they pay taxes. They have their health care taken care of. They're supporting the hospitals. They're helping our country have a tax base so that we can have infrastructure and so that we can have goods and services that we all demand. And that, let's face this, I'm with Barney Frank. I never knew a tax cut that was going to build me a bridge or a sewer line or a water treatment plant.
That's what I mean. So what do you think they mean? You know, the head of the Republican Party.
I know.
Said because that government has never created one job.
Well, because he's, well, okay, you want me to use the kindest possible phrase I can use? Because it's an idiotic statement. He's hubris. I mean, they're full of hot air. We should harness the hot air they perpetrate between them and Fox News. I made a joke earlier. We could power Atlanta. I'm not kidding.
And one other thing before I leave.
Sure.
The head of the Republican Party over here in Larimer County was interviewed by a local newspaper before the last election, and he was asked what the agenda of the Republican Party should be, and his answer was to defeat Democrats.
Yeah.
So,
that's all they want to do is defeat us, gain power, and put their feet on my neck. Well, you know what? My neck's tired. I'm gonna hold my head up and vote for Barack Obama again and again, and for more Democrats like Betsy Markey, who, by the way, is facing a huge challenge and already has ads running against her by the ousted Marilyn Musgrave and her ilk. So,
well,
you know, this battle's not over. We're going to have to keep fighting, my friend. It isn't over.
All right, well, you have a good day.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks. You. Let's go with Johnny in Wheat Ridge. Hi, Johnny. Welcome to AM 760 Colorado. I'm sorry, who? Gene. Excuse me. Ginny. Oh, Ginny. I'm sorry. I can't read my own handwriting. It's like one of those things. I wrote it down, and it is Ginny. Now I can see it, but never mind. I looped over it. Sorry,
mine's
Ginny.
Mine's not that bad, too. No, but
okay.
No problem.
Good. I have the word.
Couple
I have
things.
Doctor's
First
handwriting,
of all,
man. Go ahead.
You know, we've got an opening on AM 760, and I'd like to point out to everybody who are also thrilled to hear your voice and have you filling in for Jay to say, hey, whatever they do with the different slots, I think the biggest thing is Hartman, to keep him on. Whether he works better at 7 or at whatever, 1 o'clock, I'd love to see you get the other one, and I hope other people will call in and put your name on that list.
Thank you. I'd like to join, too. I don't know. To tell you the truth, thank you. I hope I am included in the mix.
Yeah.
I want to be. I very much I've let that be known.
Yeah, good. And I agree with somebody who called into Mario's show yesterday that, you know, it would be good to have a woman balance this whole situation out. But
Hartman,
of course, is one of the absolute shining stars of liberal radio, so I want to keep him on. But that's still, if they move his slot, that leaves one open. So.
No, and I admire and respect Tom Hartman enormously. So,
yeah.
You know, but I do believe that women have a place at the at talk radio, and it's on the air and in a good time slot. So,
absolutely.
Hey,
thank you
for your support.
Nailed Obama's thing here. It's definitely, as far as I'm concerned, just the okay. We're going to go through the motions just so to say we did try, and that they wouldn't play the game. And you know, they're not going to be bipartisan. They're not going to try to change anything. They're not going to get the message, which they're not. We know they're not. But
I think he did more than go through the motions. I think he gave them a bone or two, and they not only they chewed it up and spit it out. They didn't want it. And you know what? That makes them look almost worse in some ways.
Exactly. That would be the whole point, as far as I'm concerned, is show how they'll talk anything, but when it comes down to acting, they won't follow through.
Not even to save the country.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, on the health care issue, let me just put a comment in here, because I'm a nurse. I've been at this 30 years. And two things. Number one, before we do anything with getting 50 million people more access, they have got to start training first nursing professors, because we have a horrible shortage there, and then be able to get the nursing shortage up to meet that need that will arise when we start having that many people. It's going to be critical. And, you know, one of the things that I keep trying to get people to consider is, you know, if you just change the terminology a little bit, Republicans love vouchers. They just think they're wonderful. So as far as I'm concerned, the single-payer system is a voucher. You take your little card to whatever insurance company you want,
right,
or to your doctor's group, and say, this is my, you know, where I want to go. And I have a feeling that the insurance companies are just going to dwindle away because the doctors' groups aren't going to be as unreasonable as, you know, they're not going to have the shareholders and whatnot.
Well, either that or the insurance companies are going to have to change to play. You know, they're going to have to pay to play. And one of the things they're going to have to do is give up 40% profits. You know, they're going to have to give up being able to buy every single piece of state-of-the-art equipment. And we're going to have to deal with some changing of the way that we have healthcare, more emphasis on prevention rather than on, oh, hi, clean out my arteries, would you? Because I ate a lot of brie cheese. You know, I mean, I happen to love brie cheese, okay? But, you know, I also try to eat it in relative moderation. And I also, because I have hereditarily mandated high cholesterol, I take cholesterol and I exercise and I try to keep fit. So, you know, they're all good. And my healthcare company, by the way, rewards me for being more healthy, which is good. But they should do so even more by lowering my damn premiums.
Oh, hey, I had to go back on COBRA just now.
It's awful, isn't it?
In October, it was $426. It is now $647 a month.
My God.
Yeah.
Oh, mine's
so
not up there yet.
I'm talking to, you know, the mortgage company, the credit card people. You know, it's like, well, you don't get in line.
Healthcare comes first. Now, wait a minute. Under Obama's plan, do we get an extension in COBRA from 18 months to something else? Or how is that going to work for unemployed people? I mean, I'm employed right now, but.
I'm not totally sure.
I'm not
been waiting for the final version to come out. And
yes, that's one PDF I'll be interested in putting my little looky-loo binoculars on and reading.
my computer is also down, so I'm sort of like, well, blind and deaf. At any rate, I just, people need to keep in mind that it truly is just a huge issue. For me, I've seen this for so many years that, and the doctors are actually on board. There's like a study by Indiana University, I think, last year in April, 59% were behind single-payer health care. And there's an awful lot of them that just realized that we're getting soaked.
I think companies would do, I know that small business owners I know would do handsprings to have some help.
Yeah, you would think that the big companies would have been on board with this a long time ago, because look how much of their human resources goes to, you know, getting you enrolled. First of all, negotiating with the health insurance companies, and then getting people enrolled, and then making sure the benefits are all done and right, and deductions and all that garbage from your paychecks. But I just, you know, the interesting thing for me is I was with Kaiser for quite some time, and Kaiser has a very low profit margin. In fact, they were in the red. Profit margin that everybody else
I have been
does.
A client of theirs and liked it when I was, certainly.
Yeah. And I mean, right, they have their problems, so just like everybody else, but that's inherent in any medical system. You have people that just, you know,
I know. Ginny, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it, and thanks for the props, and hopefully I will be seeing you again on AM 760 very shortly. Thursday, Monday, and Tuesday, I'm filling in for the Mario Solis Show on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Charlie in Boulder, you're coming up next, but first we have to dance with traffic and John Turk. Hi, this is Aaron Hart, and following this show on AM 760 Progressive Talk is Ed Schultz, who will have Senator-elect Al Franken on the show today, and he'll talk about GM and Chrysler, too, who, by the way, GM is really leaning on their the unions to cut back their health care, speaking of which, we'll maybe talk about that a little later in the week on Mario's show. Charlie in Boulder, welcome, and thank you for joining us on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I am well.
All right. Good to hear your voice again.
Thank you.
That's always nice. You know, as I sat here and listened for the last half hour, number one, a little news report on the weather between Loveland and Longmont. There's a good little dust storm going on. It's almost, not quite a whiteout or a standout, but it's pretty
fierce.
Definitely lower speeds and real heavy winds.
That can be pretty daunting. I always laugh when I see signs like, and I remember in eastern Colorado, I used to see a lot of signs, wind not likely next mile and your car is like blowing off the road. Those front range winds can get up to 100 or so miles an hour, so be careful.
Yeah, there's a motorcycle track there, a dirt track, and it really is a sand out. I mean, it's like a Sahara Desert.
Ew.
Anyways, listening to you guys, you know, for the last, you know, half hour plus, you know, it's just ironic to listen to the same rhetoric. And it's like, one and one is three. And I keep going, you know, how can it keep saying the same thing over and over again?
It's
and
stunning.
One and one still equals two, no matter how many times they say it.
Yeah.
But there is hope. It's the first time in 8 years that I actually feel a relief. I mean, I actually have hope again. And actually, you know, my company is American Environmental Products, and we developed and designed energy-efficient lighting. I presented all the way to White House staff members, you know, Secretary for General Services Administration and National Institute of Health. We made lighting not only energy-efficient, but also healthy. It actually increases vitamin D uptake for immune system response, calcium increase. Kids grow a couple centimeters more a year.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there going, first, we might even possibly have a chance to actually do something right.
I think I've talked to you before. I remember you telling me about this. This is great.
I've never stopped. I won't stop.
Don't.
I have an advisory board. I have actually have one of the people that, she actually was the author of the climate change legislation. And I'm very hopeful, finally, we might have an ear in Washington, D.C.
I think we do, and I think his ears are open, and it's a good thing that they are big, too, because he's going to get an earful from all of us. All of us need his help, and I hope, I like his ears, actually, let me just state quickly. I think it's time we had a president who listened to us rather than just whatever is going on inside of his head, and I'm not sure I ever wanted to go there with George Bush.
It'd be a scary thought. The visual's not good, it's just not good.
Very scary. Well, keep us posted, and thanks so much, Charlie. Good luck.
Hey, you're welcome, guys.
All righty. Thank you. Maggie and Inglewood, welcome, and thank you for joining us on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Maggie.
I have a truly tacky comment.
Okay.
Under the Bush administration, more jobs were created in a perverse situation. Think of how many people are now in the military.
Well,
are in the military. Reservists who had good paying jobs are now living on military salaries.
Well, some of that was due to 9/11 and people's patriotism. And so, you know, I mean, I understand what you're saying. People are joining the military now, though, for economic reasons, mm-hmm. among others. But, I am one who thinks military service, if it's your choice, is a fine and endeavor to do. I mean, I think it's a fine. I come from a family where people have both served in the military and served in other front lines in our country. And I believe in both. I don't think they're mutually exclusive necessarily either, although I certainly respect anybody's personal choice in the matter. But I understand what you're saying. What he did was he created, not only did they create welfare for the rich, but they decreased options for everyone in the United States of America. I mean, in this administration, people like Charlie may thrive. In this kind of world, Juan Jose Cruz, who's going to say the Pledge of Allegiance today, or Jose Juan Cruz, I think it is, from the high school who's going to in Colorado, who's going to say the Pledge of Allegiance with the president today, will have more options, mm-hmm. not less. If we are all counted in America under the census, then we will be a truly representative country of the people who actually live here. You know, hope has been restored in so many ways. Now we just all have to work together to get our confidence back and get our country back on its feet. And it is going to take, many of our guests today talked about responsibility for one's words, one's arguments, one's fiscal behavior, all kinds of one's partying down at Hamburger Mary's. But, you know, we talk about responsibility in this country, as and the president's been talking about it from the beginning too. And again, I encourage everybody to go and listen to his Lincoln Day speech, because it was quite the speech. It was short, it was poetic, it was humorous, and it was much needed. And I think anybody who's looking for a rationale about why we have government in this country should just look to that speech and get moving. How's that?
That's fine. I'm just pointing out that we wouldn't need the extra military we do now if it hadn't been for Bush. Unfortunately, you know, invasions were made that should never have been made.
What we need is a leaner, smarter military. We need one to combat things like international terrorism, and that requires more of a police force and people who speak other languages and understands other cultures. One thing I'm very hopeful for is that the job creation in the United States government, it will be in the State Department, among others. Thank you so much. I appreciate your call, Maggie. I really do.
All right.
I'm sorry I didn't give you as much time as I wanted you to talk, because I ran off a little. But hey, I'm a talk show host after all. I'm Erin Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin. I'll be back with you and Mario Solis on Thursday afternoon. Look forward to it then. Thank you all. Thanks, John Turk. Have a great day. Enjoy the president's visit.